Welcome to Torani Mecha Neachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we'll be studying Yirmiyahu chapter 14. In the last parak, we learned about the nevuah where Yirmiyahu wore, buried, and unburied a sash to show the dangers of sin and arrogance. It also had a message to Yechaniah and his mother about the responsibility for the galus. This parak is a nevuah about a great famine that Hashem will bring on Eretz Yisrael as there will be no rain. In this parak, there is a prayer for Yirmiyahu to Hashem to save the nation, which Hashem rejects. The parak ends with a kina, a lamentation on the harsh famine that is to come. This parak is a painful one, full of harsh descriptions of the suffering of the Jewish people. Hashem begins by telling Yirmiyahu about the drought. In verses 2 through 6, Hashem describes the drought that is to come. Verse 2, Avla Yehuda usha'areha umlalu. Your Yehuda mourn and her settlements are torn. The famine is going to be extensive, and the pain will be throughout the land, both in the cities and the rural areas. The famine is so severe that there is no water to be found anywhere. The nobles send out their messengers to find water, to look in every possible place, but they bring back empty pitchers in great shame. The farmers fare no better. Even in drought, farmers generally can find some water in natural habitats. They can look in rocks, they can look in stream beds. Here, there is none. The land looks like pictures we've seen of bad drought, like broken pottery. It is so dry, the land is breaking apart. The farmers also cover their heads in shame over their incapacity to be productive. Even the animals are impacted by this drought. The deer, verse 5, the Ayeles Basadeh, is known as one of the most gentle animals who loves and cares tenderly for her children. When she gives birth in the famine, she is going to have to abandon her baby to search for food. The wild donkeys act unusually as well. They climb mountains foraging for food, and they are panting from the exertion, but the ground is bare from any vegetation from the lack of rain. Verses 7 to 9, Yirmiyahu turns to Hashem in prayer about this tragedy that he is witnessing. Even though Hashem has told him not to pray for the people, he concludes himself in this prayer. Many of the words from this tefillah are found in the Tachanun prayer that we say in Shacharis. Yirmiyahu says, Im avonenu anubanu. Though our iniquities testify against us, we know we deserve to be punished. Even so, Hashem asei leman shmecha, Hashem, act for your name's sake. Act because of tzedakah and not because we deserve it. We say this phrase in our tefillos as well. This was the formula that Moshe Rabbeinu used after the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf. Moshe asked Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael, not because we deserve it, but because the other nations shouldn't say that Hashem was incapable to bring us into Eretz Yisrael, that Hashem didn't destroy us, and that would be a Chilul Hashem. If the other nations see at this time that the Jewish people are starving, they may say that Hashem cannot save them. Ki rabu mishuvosenu l'chachatanu. Though our rebellions are many and we have sinned against you, we have so many sins, avodah zarah, corruption, arrogance, listening to Nevi'ei Sheker, don't deserve to be saved, but we ask for it anyway. Yirmiyahu goes on to call Hashem in verse 8. Hashem, you are the Mikveh Yisrael. Hashem, you are the continuous source of hope for Klal Yisrael. Moshio be'eis sarah. You save us in the time of trouble. The word mikvah comes from the word tikva, hope. No matter how far Klal Yisrael strays, they always hope Hashem will help them. As we say, there's no atheist in the foxhole. We always trust in Hashem and know He can save us in our most difficult times. The word mikvah also means a place of water that turns the impure pure. Hashem can turn the people who are so impure from their sins to be pure again. If we believe in Hashem, why should you be like a stranger in land, or like a traveler who only stops at night? Why is Hashem not invested in what happens in Eretz Yisrael or with His people? Hashem Yirmiyahu says, we know you know what is going on, and you can change things. Verse 9, why should he be like a man who is stunned, who acts as if he doesn't know what is going on? Kigibor lo yuchol eshia, like a warrior who cannot save anyone. The Ma'am Loe says that Yirmiyahu is asking Hashem to save Yehuda both from the drought and from the oncoming attacking nations. Hashem doesn't need to be stunned by the drought nor act like a warrior who cannot save them from the nations who are coming. V'ata b'kribenu Hashem. Hashem, you are in our midst. You are not a guest or a foreigner. You are here. V'shimcha aleinu nikra al tanichenu. And your name is attached to us. Do not forsake us. The name Yisrael has the name Kel, has the name Hashem within it. For better or worse, whatever happens to Klal Yisrael makes an impression on the other nations as to the power of Hashem. Hashem responds with two answers. One is directed at the nation as a whole, and the second is directed to Yirmiyahu directly. Hashem addresses Ha'am Hazeh, this nation. He does not say, as he has said in previous Prakim, Ami, my nation. Whenever the phrase Am Hazen, this nation, is used, it's indicating that there is some distance between Hashem and his people. He says that they never seemed to mind wandering in distance from Hashem before. Now they will need to leave, they will need to wander away from Hashem to find food. It shouldn't bother them so much as they're comfortable with it. And also they need to be punished for their sins. Hashem then turns to Yirmiyahu in verse 11 and commands him not to daven for the nation, Litova, for their good. He had davened before to destroy the men of Anasos, which was a tefillah for bad. Here, he should not daven to help them. Verse 12, Kiatsumu eneni shomea alrina sam. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. V'chi ya'alu ola umincha eneni rotsam. When they offer burnt offerings and meal offerings, I do not want them. They keep turning to the same behaviors, davening and karbanos, but only works if the next step is there, if they go from their davening and it inspires them to do tshuva. Because they stay with the same program and they keep on davening but never changing, they will die, whether it be in battle, from a famine, or the disease that arises from famine. In verse 13, Yirmiyahu rises to the defense of his people. There are all these competing voices. There are Nevi'ei Sheker, who say there will be no battles and no famine in Yerushalayim, that they will only have peace there. If they are getting these messages, how can Hashem blame them for not listening to Yirmiyahu? Hashem responds that the Nevi'ei Sheker, who are saying these false prophecies in Hashem's name, are flawed. Lo shalachtim, I didn't send them. Lo tzivisim, I didn't command them. Lo lidibarti aleihem, I didn't speak to them. They may be lying or doing divination, but this is not what prophecy is. The nation would not be fooled if they chose to look a little deeper and evaluate who they are looking for with more care. The Torah has clear signs as to what makes a legitimate Navi, and these Nevi'im have none of them. If the nation chooses to listen to them, it's because they wanted to listen to them, they like their messages, and they themselves are then responsible for being fooled. Verse 15 begins with the word lachain, which means the consequence is there will be a double punishment. There is one punishment for the Nevi'im, since they said there would be no famine or sword, they will die first, either by famine or by sword. In verse 16, Hashem says what will happen to the nation who chose to be fooled by the Nevi'ei Sheker. They will be cast out into the street with two causes of death. There is going to be a Ra'av, a famine, and Cherev, battle. So many people will die that there will be too many to bury. Men, women, sons, and daughters will all die. The Pasuk singles out Nishosehem, their wives, because the Radak says the women followed the Nevi'ei Sheker more than the men. V'shafakti aleihem esrasam, I will pour on them their bad. With all this, Yirmiyahu is commanded to tell the Jewish people that he is heartbroken over the events that are coming, and that he is not saying this out of hatred for the people. He loves them and cares about them. Verse 17, Teiradna enai dim'a laila v'yomam v'al tidmena, let my eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease. Yirmiyahu sees that there is great pain coming to Besulath Basami, to the virgin daughter of my people, the city that was never ruled by others, so it is as if it was unmarried. What Yirmiyahu sees in the following psukim is horrid. People are dying in and out of the city. Verse 18, Im yatsasi hasada vihine chalei cherev. If they go out of the city to escape the famine, they're going to see fields that are covered by those slain by the sword. Im basi ha'ir, vihine tachluei ra'av. If a person enters the city at this time, they're going to behold those that are sick with famine. Everyone is dying a slow, sick, painful death. This is happening to everyone, to the Nevi'im, to the Kohanim, and to all the people. Yirmiyahu sees this and has a question for Hashem from verses 19 through 22. He asks, how can this happen and why can you not forgive the people? Have you thoroughly rejected Yehuda? Has your soul loathed Tzion? In the Torah, Hashem promises, Lo ma'astim v'lo ge'altim. Hashem promises he would never despise the people. Yirmiyahu, using the same words, asks, why does it seem that you despise them now? Generally, when Hashem brings a disease, he is hiktim v'ful l'maka. He makes sure there was a cure before the disease. Here says Yirmiyahu, Madua hikisanu v'ein lanu marpei. Why have you smitten with us, smitten us, and there is no healing? Kaveh l'shalom v'ein tov u'l'eis marpei v'hinei ba'asa. We look for peace, but nothing as good is coming from anywhere. The news is all bad. Verse 20. Yirmiyahu says he knows the reason for all this trouble. Yadanu Hashem Rishenu. We acknowledge Hashem our wickedness. Avon avosenu k'chatanu lach. The sins of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Yirmiyahu is saying that the people sinned and they followed the sins of their fathers. Initially, when the fathers sinned, Hashem delayed punishment to see if they would do tshuva. Now that punishment is coming due, and therefore they will be getting the justice that was meant for their fathers as well as for their own sins. Even still, Yirmiyahu has one last tefillah, one last request, even though he acknowledges that they deserve to be punished. Verse 21, Al tinatz l'man shmecha, do not disgrace us for your name's sake. Yirmiyahu asks Hashem that although Bnei Israel must be punished, don't make this a chilul Hashem, as the Jewish people represent Hashem. Hashem is called Rachum. Yirmiyahu is asking Hashem not to change the way he is perceived, not to be perceived as cruel by all the nations and by Klal Yisrael. Al tenabel kisei chvodecha. Do not dishonor the throne of your glory. Rashi says the throne of Hashem's glory is the Beis HaMikdash. Bnei Yisrael are also considered the throne of Hashem's glory because the image of Yaakov is engraved on the Kisei HaKavod. The Jewish people represent Hashem. Verse 22, Yirmiyahu concludes his prayer for rain. He says that he can only turn to Hashem for rain, and so he is. Hayesh b'havle gayim magshimim mim hashemayim itnu revivim. Are there among the vanities of nations that can cause rain, or can the heavens give showers? The lack of rain, he acknowledges, comes because the Jewish people served Avodah Zarah. However, Klal Yisrael believes and knows that only Hashem can give rain. Despite their service of Avodah Zarah, they still have the fundamentals of Emunah, the fundamentals of faith, which keep them connected to Hashem. We hope for you have made all these things. Despite everything that happens, the Yehuda's faith in Hashem remains strong, and they believe that Hashem is the one who will bring rain. Hashem rejects Yirmiyahu's tefillah. The parak ends with a kina, a lamentation on the harsh famine that is to come. This parak is a painful one, full of harsh descriptions of the suffering of the Jewish people during a drought. Yirmiyahu davens to Hashem, and Hashem says he will not listen because the people chose to listen to Nevi'ei Sheker. Yirmiyahu nonetheless turns to Hashem and asks him to bring rain. One important lesson of this parak is we can learn from how Yirmiyahu framed his tefillos. He didn't frame his tefillos saying, we need this, please help us, because we want this. Rather, he said, Hashem, please recognize how the nations of the world perceive your relationship and you, and what happens to Klal Yisrael is a reflection of you. Yirmiyahu's tefillah was based on what is good for Hashem, not based on what is good for us. That is how we can frame our tefillos. We can daven, please Hashem, do something l'man shemecha, do it for you. Please help us so that we can do more mitzvos, learn more Torah, and it can be a kiddush Hashem. We can ask Hashem for help to help us because we are concerned about the honor of Hashem. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Riva Schwab, Rivka Bas, Alexander Sender.